you know, use sustainable foods at Street. And if you can talk a little bit about that and how you like to go green.
Right, at all the restaurants, Border Grill, Ciudad.
Oh, that's great.
Vegas and at Street, we use, I mean, we try really hard. We use all sustainable fish. And so all the fish that we use in all the restaurants is through the Monterey Bay Aquarium. It's on there. And if you don't know that, you should go to their seafoodwatch.org website on Monterey Bay Aquarium, where you actually see the fish that you, in depending what region you're at, the fish that they want you to avoid because it's being overfished or because it's being fished wrong, what fish is on their best choice. And so that's been something that we have followed for a long time and I feel like is really shaped the decisions all of our chefs make when we're choosing what fish to do, because we want to know that in 25 years from now that, you know, the kids of that generation are still going to be able to eat, you know, Chilean sea bass. And right now, you know, you can't. So I feel like we've made a big effort to really do that. We use all organic rice and beans. All of our dairy at Street is organic. All of our meat is hormone-free. We recycle all of our oil at Street. We use it, and it's made into the soap that we use in our restrooms.
That is so cool.
So it's very cool. And our oil from Border Grill and Ciudad, we filter it, and it's used to generate our Border Grill taco truck. Our cooking on the truck is by this recycled, reused oil. So I think we try really hard, you know, to be aware. You know, we stopped serving. We partnered with the Humane Society, and we stopped serving Canadian seafood because of the inhumane treatment that was happening to the baby seals. Mm-hmm. And so I think we feel that it's important to follow your heart and make a strong statement about the things that are important to you. And I think, you know, for me with Street, it was really important to try to push that as much as we could. We, you know, we have reverse osmosis water, and we actually, you know, we give away, I mean, we just pour water that's all gone through this reverse osmosis. So we don't sell flat bottled water. We just give it away. And we, and I think, you know, we, of course, we recycle, but I think we just try to look at every area where we can support the environment. I mean, all of our chairs were made in the 50s, and I found them up in an old furniture store up in Northern California. So we picked up 100 of these gorgeous old walnut chairs that are just fabulous looking. You know, our bar is made out of this great material, Rich Light, which is recycled. It's like the skateboard ramps that it's recycled paper in our bar and our bathroom counter.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's really important. It's important, and it's important to me, and it always has been to Mary Sue and I to really make sure we take care of the environment.
Oh, that is wonderful. You know, I'm looking at your menu now, and you have such an interesting variety. I mean, I hear you have something that's kaya toast from Singapore, and then you have, I can't even pronounce it, spinach verini?
Yes, they're basically
Ukrainian.
Yes, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, and it's, you know, you have Ukrainian, I can't even say Ukrainian.
Yeah,
then the next thing is Syrian, and the next thing is Japanese shiso shrimp. I mean, wow, I've got to come to L.A. and eat at this restaurant.
You know, it's a big variety of, I mean, that's the thing I think that's so great. It takes you in an experience around the world. That's what, you know, I like to feel like, and that's what we're trying to do is, you know, we're not trying to make it food that's inaccessible. We really want to try to make it food that's going to push people to try things they may never have tasted. So, for example, the vareniki is a Ukrainian dumpling. Basically, it's like a pierogi. It's stuffed with spinach and a feta cheese and served on a homemade lemon marmalade with sour cream.
Mm.
Or, you know, for example, that kaya toast is very very traditional Singapore street food. As a matter of fact, I'm headed to Singapore and Vietnam in about 10 days. I'm so excited.
Oh.
That kaya toast, which, matter of fact, is the most favorite dish of everyone that comes in the street. It's a very complicated, complex dish, although it's really simple. It's this custard that's made from coconut milk and a leaf called pandan leaf, and you put it in between toast, Malaysian white bread, and serve it with a very soft cooked egg and dark soy and white pepper. And it's a hangover cure. And people just die for that dish. And matter of fact, that was the dish that took me off of Top Chef Masters. And it was the one dish that I actually thought, oh, I might win this challenge. It's everybody's absolute, it blows you away. It's a very interesting dish.
I was surprised by that, actually. You know, it's funny because I was just thinking about Top Chef Masters, and
right.
I mean, you know, I honestly, when you won the challenge where you made the chicken with the crispy skin and the quinoa pilaf and the cumin cilantro sauce, I mean, I was like, you could look over, there was drool coming out of my mouth. And you actually said during that challenge, quote, each challenge I try to figure out what do I love that will fit into the challenges. And I thought that was great because you obviously love so many things and you have such a huge talent, and I just wanted to jump through the TV somehow.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I've been around for a long time, so that helps.
Yeah. Yeah, and the guys that you were up against, I love, especially, I thought Suser was wonderful, and Rick, and you know, Jonathan, I mean, everybody, and the women, there was a woman, and I'm forgetting her name, but she's actually from Boston, Rialto, is her? She was lovely as well. I mean, I thought, what a bunch of amazing people.
Jody's a fantastic chef, absolutely fantastic. I loved her food, loved.
Oh.
Fantastic. And you know what? Many of the people, like Jonathan, I've known for probably 30 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've known Rick for a long time. I really didn't know Suser and Marcus. Jody, I did an event, I think, with Jody.
Oh, that's
probably
right.
25 years ago, and I haven't seen Jody in a long time. But just some really great, great, great cooks. And, you know, Jody's food I love. And at least that was seems like I got to taste a little bit of Jody's food. Really, we were usually so damn busy, you didn't have time to taste one person's food anywhere because they just, like, ran you wildly.
Oh, it seems crazy.
Yeah. It's intense. It's a ton of pressure, no question.
Oh, my gosh. Now, because it was so busy, I mean, were you able to learn pick anything up from the other contestants on the show? Is it like, oh, I haven't seen that used that way, or, you know, or something?
No, you honestly didn't have any time.
Okay, that's what I thought.
You really, you know, for me, this was about the challenge for myself. You know, can I challenge myself to come up with the dish that really fits the challenge and be able to do all the elements of it? Because so much of our food has got so many components. It's never like, okay, do a lamb chop and a sauce. It's always all the components, the chutneys, the, you know, sauces that go with it. And those are very manually labor intensive. And when you don't have any other prep people there to help you with it, it's just, it's incredibly time consuming. So you are focused, at least for me.
Yes.
I barely had time to see what anybody else was even doing. And the second you finish, typically, you're going straight to the judge, you know, or to the judge's table. And then by the time you're back, you know, you're on to the next thing, the next challenge, and they're cleaning the kitchen. And so you don't even really get to taste anybody's food. It's really interesting. Because once
it's
finished, they pull you out of the kitchen area because they don't want anybody, you know, doing anything more. So,
oh, I see.
Process.
Oh, well, honestly, my husband and I, we joke, like, you know, I go, okay, go in the refrigerator and make such and such, you know. He's like, I don't know how they do it. I mean, how do you come up with these amazing menus, especially on those quick fire challenges? I mean, I could, you know, he's like, I can make some mashed potatoes. it's just incredible.
It's true. You have to be able to work under stress. For sure. You have to be good at that. And you have to be able to think on your feet, and when something changes quickly, you need to be able to change with it, because that happens, and that's part of their thing, is can you do that? And I think, you know, it each round is its own round. So, you know, you might do terrible one day, or you might do terrible all along and then win, you know, in the end, or you might do really great one day and terrible the next day. But, you know, it's the thing about it is that I think we all have a lot of years of experience. And so what that gives you is the, at least, oftentimes it gives you the ability to be able to think quickly like that. So
well, I'm just envious of your partner because, wow, the food she must get. You know, she makes for you, I'm sure, as well. It's like, oh, I'm definitely, you know, you might see me not look running around L.A. going, Susan, where are you? Showing up at your house.
Yeah.
I'm just
never
teasing.
Home. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, go ahead. I'm not there.
And she doesn't cook at all anyway. So.
Oh, she doesn't? Okay.
No. She's a great director, writer, which is absolutely valuable and helpful, but she's not a cook.
Oh, well, she's lucky to have you for many reasons. Now, and another person who was lucky to have you is your friend Sharon, who had scleroderma. And I mentioned in the introduction, it's a life-threatening degenerative illness. And you raised, I think it was $32,000, or how much was it?
I raised $32,005.
Wow, what a great feeling.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That made it all... I never wanted to do the show, and literally that made it all worth it to go ahead and do that, knowing that, you know, for Sharon it was worth it to sort of put myself out there and do that. So it was totally, that part of it made me feel really fantastic, you know, to be able to put the word out about scleroderma, have, you know, people on national TV see the face of scleroderma and hear the word, and have people who've never heard of scleroderma learn at least a little bit how to go and find out more information. I got amazingly sweet emails and Facebook and, you know, checks from people all over to the Scleroderma Research Foundation who said, you know, something, their mother passed away from the disease, or they were so happy to have people hear the word. And so, I mean, at the Scleroderma Research Foundation, I feel like we really do support very forward-thinking research with Johns Hopkins and Duke and UC San Francisco. And we're working hard to find a cure. That's why I've been on the board of the Scleroderma Research Foundation for 20 years now, and my friend Sharon passed away about 8 years now. So I'm still doing it. We still do a big event twice a year in L.A., New York, and then in San Francisco, called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine, where we get amazing comedians, Robin Williams, Jon Stewart, Lily Tomlin, Bob Saget's on the board with me. So it's a great event. It's people laughing and eating great food and basically raising money for a cause that's in need.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've got to come to L.A.
You can find out, you can go to, it's even easier, you can go to srfcure.org is the website, or Scleroderma Research Foundation. You can Google it and find it.
Oh, great. And if you can give us your website for Street.
It's e.street. You can go to two different ones. We have e.street.com, or you can go to SusanFenigerStreet.com.
Well, Susan, you are delightful.